Great. Well, let me just pray again as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you that we can meet together. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to listen really carefully to what you're saying in your word now. Please help my words be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm conscious it's a bit cold, and we've all been sitting for a little while already. So what I was wanting to do is I'm going to show a few pictures on the screen to see how well travelled we are as a church family, or at least how many pub quizzes we might have been to in our time. I'm going to show you some pictures of famous monuments or buildings, but I'm just going to show the shadow. But why don't we, if you can, please don't stand. If you struggle to stand and sit, that's fine. But let's all start on our feet. And when you think you've got the answer, you can sit down for this one. Just warm us up a little bit as we begin. Okay, so first picture. This is the shadow of a certain monument. Can't see it very well. Sit down when you think you've got it. Quite a few. Okay. Does anyone want to call out the answer? Leaning Tower of Pisa, brilliant. Okay, you've got it right. Well done. Okay. Okay, on your feet again. Next one. That's very difficult to see. If anyone gets this, I'll be impressed. Oh, sorry. Yeah, there's people sitting down. Go on then, call out the answer. Eiffel Tower, brilliant, well done. Okay, you can stand up again if you want to. If you're tired, you don't have to. It's not a gym class. Right, this is one for the children. It's not a building. It's supposed to be for the children, but I don't know if you still watch this anymore. So anyone want to call this one out? Marge Simpson, yeah, brilliant. Okay, this is definitely one for the young people and the children, okay? Who's this? Spider-Man. That one's easy, isn't it? Okay, this one isn't a building either, but he is built like one. Let's see. That's right, it's our Reverend Darlington and Coda the dog. Brilliant. You can all sit back down now. Thank you for humouring me. I hope you've warmed up a little bit with that. Well, I don't know if you've ever visited a famous monument or building on a sunny day, and perhaps as you walked along, you can see the shadow that it's casting before you go around the corner and see the real thing. You can see the shadow it's casting on the square or the street. And perhaps you might have even played on the shadow of the Eiffel Tower or something like that. You know, you can take a photo of you sitting on the shadow. It can be quite fun. Or perhaps you've played the game where you try and jump on each other's shadow. I know our boys love that when we're walking along. But I bet you've never travelled to a famous monument or building and you've seen the shadow, but then you've returned home without seeing the reality, the real thing. Or if you go to see Paul on a sunny day, you would never go and speak to his shadow instead of the real thing. You speak to the real thing. It's so much better. Look at him. Or Coda the dog. Now, Coda's shadow might amuse our boys for a little bit, jumping on Coda's shadow, but they much prefer jumping on the real thing. Poor Coda. Now, some of you are probably thinking, when's this new curate going to get the Bible open? But there is a real point to all of this, because a big thing that God is doing in the book of Hebrews is comparing the shadow to the better reality. The shadow is the Old Testament law, which includes the animal sacrifices, the priests, the temple, everything that God gave to the people to enable them to live in relationship with a holy God. But God is saying that this always pointed forwards to Jesus the Son, the better reality. And so we're going to kick off today contrasting the angels with the Son, which to us sounds like a strange place to start. But it was because actually God's people believed that the angels were those who delivered that Old Testament law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So angels were a big deal. They were really important. They were what's called the covenant mediators. So the contrast is between the two. The angels who spoke the law and the Son through whom God has spoken the message of salvation. The angels are the shadow, Jesus the Son, the better reality. And everything we see today really is just filling out what we saw last week in verses 1 to 4. And if you want a summary, it's this. Jesus, the Son, is superior. So pay him even closer attention. Jesus, the Son, is superior. So pay him even closer attention. Now, to prove the Son's superiority over the angels, the author is going to pile up all of these Old Testament quotes for us, which he shows are actually fulfilled ultimately in Jesus the Son. Well, to help us sort of through this, through scriptures, I thought this was a little bit like a game of Top Trumps. I don't know if you've ever played Top Trumps before. Hopefully you had. But basically, everyone has a pack of cards. Some cards, and one person calls out a category. So something here might be, I don't know if you can see them, but teamwork or courage or friendship, something like that. And whoever gets the highest rating in that category wins the hand. So we're going to be creating some Top Trumps cards, one for Jesus and one for the angels, the shadow, as we go through. And we'll be looking at four different categories or comparisons as we go through. So children, For you that are fives and under, Rafi, Zach and others, there's some colouring for you to do, and I'll also help you match up those pictures as we go through. And for some of the young people, there's some blanks to fill in on your sheets as we go through as well. So see if you can get those. And adults, there should be a sermon outline. Didn't want to leave you out, so you've got that as well. Well, If you shut your Bibles as well, please do open them. We're going to be getting them a lot now. So, the first comparison in verses 5 to 6, the Father's Son is King, angels worship him. So we kick off with Psalm 2 and 2 Samuel 7 here, and I'll read from verse 5. For which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son." Now the second quote from 2 Samuel 7, it's all about God's promise to King David of a king from his line with an eternal throne. A king who would be God's son. And Psalm 2, we had it preached a few weeks ago, didn't we, as well, that it's all about God installing his king. And in both places, this son, this king, is to have complete authority and victory over his enemies. Now, the kings of Israel, they fulfilled this in some small measure. But Hebrews is saying this promise and prophecy is fulfilled ultimately in the Son, Jesus. But what of angels? Well, verse 6, they're not the king. Verse 6, but they worship him. The angels are clearly lesser than the Son because they worship him. So where have we got to in our Top Trumps cards? Let's have a look. So children, do you look on your sheets now as well? So did anyone get is anyone filling in the blanks? Did anyone get that first one? I'll click it for you. So the Son King. And if we were to rate the Son in this category, out of 100, what would we give him? It'd have to be 100, wouldn't it? That's right. It's 100. And how about for the same thing, Son, King for the angels, what would we rate them? It's got to be 0, hasn't it? They're 0. But they're not the king, but they are, here's another blank, they are worshippers. They are worshippers. And children, if you're doing the colouring, you might want to draw a line between those two pictures, the first ones. The Son, King, and the worshippers. Already you can see how superior is the Son. Well, the second comparison is from verses 7 to 9, actually. And here we see the angels are servants, but the Son is God, the eternal King. And if you were holding your angels Top Trumps card in your hand at the moment, you'd think, oh, we're going to be doing better in this category. Because actually, look, they're called spirit and fire. Now, they must be powerful, right? Well, they are powerful, but look what they're also called. Have a look down in that verse. They're also called servants. and his servants flames of fire, verse 7. It's not that being a servant is a bad thing, but they're not in charge, are they? And then he compares them to the sun in verse 8, and this is from Psalm 45. And straight away, we can see that the sun's top trump card is in a league of its own. As I read this one out, just look how God speaks to the sun. In verse 8, it says this, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." Well, if we were in any doubt before, it's now completely clear that the sun is God. He's addressed as God, and so he has this eternal throne. The sun is king, an eternal king, and his rule will last forever. Now, if you were saying that about any other ruler, that would be a bit scary, wouldn't it? And this is not to mock him, but what if Boris's time as Prime Minister went on forever? I mean, whatever you think of him, he makes mistakes, doesn't he? He's human. I'll just wait for my son. And it gets even more scary, doesn't it? If you think about a leader like Kim Jong-un in North Korea, what if his brutal dictatorship continued on forever? But look at what the sun's kingdom is like in verses 8 and 9. Just have a look at verses 8 and 9 now. It says this, a scepter of justice, a scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Can you imagine a leader like that? Loving righteousness, hating wickedness. Often people get really excited about the next presidential candidate, don't they? Sometimes the hype gets so much that you think they're going to save the world or something. And they might do some good. They might achieve some good. But a king who rules with complete justice? Imagine the kind of kingdom under his rule. You can just read the Gospels to see it, can't you, with Jesus? And no one getting away with wrong. Fairness, kindness, compassion. No haves and have-nots. No one left without home or food or friendship. Even if some of our better leaders do achieve a lot, well, it all gets undone often by the next leader because they can't rule forever. Or maybe someone like Putin, well, he changes the constitution so he can rule until 2035 or something, whatever it is now. But even Putin, he's going to die one day. He can't rule when he's dead. But the sun has a rule that is defined by justice and righteousness. And he will secure his rule forever. He's the eternal king. So back to our top trumps cards then. Where have we got to here? We fill in the blanks. Hopefully you've got them already. But the sun is the eternal king. And again, if we're going to rate him in this category, what are we going to rate him again? It's got to be 100, hasn't it? He's 100 out of 100. He's the eternal king. And the angels? 0. We're getting the hang of this now. But what are they? Servants. The angels are servants. You can just see, as we're just going through, that just look how superior the sun is to these angels. Well, we're on to our third comparison now. And this is in verses 10 to 12. The sun is eternal creator. Angels are created. And he's just piling up these Old Testament quotations. And here in verse 10, it's from Psalm 102. And this is still God speaking about the sun. He says this in verse 10. In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. See, we saw last week that God made the world through the sun. And now this seems even more pointed that Jesus, the Son Jesus, is the creator. He laid the foundations of the earth. He is set over and apart from creation. And you can feel this amazing contrast in verses 11 to 12 as well. Where he says the creation will wear out like clothes. In fact, it's the sun who will finally roll up creation like this robe. He started it. He created it. And he, when he decides on that day, he'll end it. Just like that. He's that in control of creation. But the sun, well, he will remain the same. His years are unchanging. He's unchangeable and eternal. As I was just throwing that on the floor there, I don't know how when I last washed this, actually. Sorry about that. But that would be a great thing to think of, wouldn't it, actually? When you're tossing your clothes into the laundry basket each day, you can think, oh, well, the sun, he won't change. He's going to wrap up this creation, going to roll it up one day. Because he is the eternal, unchangeable creator. He's got authority over his creation to do that. But angels? Well, I think with the angels, you go all the way back to verse 7 again, where he started the comparison. And they're changeable. They're created. He makes them into a spirit and fire. That psalm is actually all about God's mastery over creation. And angels are in the created category there, where God will use them to serve his purposes. We're getting through. So back to our top trumps here. Has anyone got the blanks? Anyone want to call it out? E, C. Brilliant. Eternal creator. Yeah. So we've got the eternal creator. You're getting the idea now. What we're going to rate the sun for being an eternal creator? 100. There we go. And the angels? 0. But the angels are created. So eternal creator, created. How superior is the sun? Well, the final comparison before we land this in chapter 2 is from Psalm 110. And this is in verses 13 and 14. If you're following along in your Bibles, we're at verses 13 and 14 now. This is a quote from Psalm 110. He says, "To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" And this is really the climax. This is where he is seated and victorious, at the place of highest honor, complete authority at God's right hand. But it's also a seat of victory. The sun is already seated, but he's waiting for something. I don't know if you noticed that in those verses, there's that word until. Can you see what he's waiting for whilst he's seated? Verse 13. Well, he's waiting for that final day when his enemies will be made into a footstool for his feet. His victory will be visible to all. Now, this footstool is a strange image to us. And it won't be made from material like this one. It's not going to be made like this. It's actually going to be made out of Jesus' enemies, who will become a footstool by his throne for his feet. And he will be seated, resting his feet in victory on his enemies. It's actually a really frightening image for some. Because to be under the sun's feet as his enemy is a terrible image. Christians will be under him as his children. But to be under him as his enemies is a frightening image. But has God ever said this to the angels? No. They don't sit at God's right hand. They are servants. So our final category on our top trumps, I'll just give it to you for these. He's seated victorious. 100 out of 100, I hope you agree. He is seated victorious. The angels are not there, but once more, they are servants. They're servants. And just as you look up there, just look how superior the sun is. Eternal King, Eternal Creator. Jesus is the top trumps card that will win every time in every category. Except actually, it doesn't even really work with top trumps, because it's like Jesus is in a different card pack altogether. He's in his own category. He beats everyone else. He's in a league of his own. And that's the point, really. The Son is unique. He is God himself. And so, finally, we reach the point, really, that I think the author, that God has been building up to all along in chapter 2. As we hit chapter 2, he says, look, because of all this, because of who the Son is, the eternal King, seated and victorious, because of that, well, final point, pay the Son even closer attention, lest you drift away. Pay the Son even closer attention, lest you drift away. Chapter 2, verse 1, just have a look down. It's how he says it. He says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. Why? So that we do not drift away. And this is a serious warning. He's not talking about drifting off peacefully down a stream on a sunny day. He's talking about drifting down a river that leads to a 40-foot waterfall. Drifting that leads to judgment. Just look quickly how he makes the point. It says, verse 2, for since the message spoken through angels was binding, or every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? I think what he says about the angel's message is quite a shock, because the whole time he's been showing that they are lesser than the Son. So you might assume you could safely ignore their message. But actually, no. It was still binding. It was a word from God all the same, and the angels were lesser, but their message was true. And so every disobedience received its just punishment. How much more then? How will we escape judgment if we ignore such a great salvation that God has spoken in the Son? A message from the very lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, confirmed for us by the apostles. Are we paying the Son our closest attention? Abby, my wife, she had to go out, but she was summoned for jury service recently. And the way she was, the way we had that was via letter. And the letter was quite scary, because it kind of says, if you don't respond to this within a certain amount of days, then you'll get a fine. And, you know, we don't want to pay the fine. So it's binding, isn't it? You still listen. But imagine that this summons was then followed up by the judge of that particular case himself. Imagine if he turned up at our door and summoned Abby to jury service in person. Well, how much more would she listen then? She couldn't ignore that. And the message is, don't drift away. The Son he's seated on high, and he's waiting for that day when his enemies will be made a footstool for his feet. And I think the implication here is, don't become part of that footstool on that final day. Heed this warning. Are we giving the Son our closest attention? Well, just as I finish, I think it is easy, though, isn't it, to give our attention more to other things, if we're honest. I'm sure for many, lockdown has been difficult. Feelings of isolation, loss of structure, worries of health, the fatigue of living in constant change the whole time, or incessantly checking the news or scrolling our phones to listen to the latest virus updates, or listening to those briefings. I don't know if anyone anticipated the announcement last week. They have the kind of briefing first, don't they, from the top scientists, and then Boris comes on. You kind of get captivated, don't you, especially by Patrick Vallance. He's got that air of authority about him. It's easier almost to listen to someone like that's words, pay more attention to him than we do to the words of the Son, that God has spoken in the Son. But even in normal times, life is busy, isn't it? There's lots of demands on us. Our normal concerns don't just go away. And I think the effect of us having not been able to meet physically, we shouldn't underestimate. It could be that we've become spiritually sleepy, in lockdown, giving only distracted attention to Jesus. For others, it might have been a real blessing, actually, stripping away real life, and you might be doing well in your relationship with God, and that's brilliant. But either way, how can we, just as we finish, how can we help each other pay our closest attention to the Son? Well, I didn't just want to give you a generic go away and read your Bibles more. But I think Hebrews has started this way for a reason. See, he's elevating the Son, Jesus, to such a place where we will just want to listen to him more. We will want to give him our attention. And so actually, I wonder if reading on in Hebrews is a brilliant way to apply this. Just seeing how great a salvation we have in Jesus and how confident we can be to approach a holy God through him. I don't know if you've ever had the practice of doing that, of reading the passage ahead of a Sunday and praying it through. It can make a real difference to how we then listen on a Sunday, especially when it's cold like this. But paying attention to the Son, it doesn't mean that you have to do an hour every morning with the Bible. Some people are struggling with all sorts of things, aren't they? With ill health, depression, whatever it might be that makes focusing on reading the Word really difficult. But just taking time to reflect on what we've already heard on a Sunday in the week can be really helpful and seem a bit more doable. I don't know when it comes to food, if you're a feaster or a grazer. As you get to know me, you'll see that I'm a grazer. I eat all day, every day. But I think it can be a bit like that with the Bible. It doesn't have to be all in one sitting. You can just pick it up throughout the day. Or you don't even have to pick it up. You can just turn your mind to the truths that God has been teaching us on a Sunday. Anything that we can use to turn our minds back to the truth. Anything that you do every day that you can use as a trigger to the truth. And Paul was saying the other week about when they sit down for a Netflix time, you pick up the remote control. Oh, it's Bible time first. Just a little trigger that you think, yeah, let's get the truth into our hearts and into our minds. I was saying today about when you think about just throwing your clothes. You throw your clothes in a laundry basket every day, or maybe every few days if you pile them all up. But just use that as a trigger to the truth. Think, yeah, the Son one day is going to wrap up this creation. He's going to change it, but he doesn't change. He remains the same. So build up expectantly to a Sunday and meditate afterwards as well. But just finally, this really is finally, don't try and do this on your own. To pay attention to the Son, we need each other as a church family. Hebrews is going to say that later on. So whether you're struggling at the moment or you're sort of feeling like you're doing well, seek out church family to help you with this. It'd be a brilliant thing if people, I know it happens already, but if people were meeting up in twos, threes throughout the week and encouraging each other from the Word of God and praying. But however we do it, let's give the Son our closest attention, lest we drift away. Let me pray. Father, thank you for showing us just how exalted, how high, how superior your Son Jesus is. Father, pray that we might listen to him. Pray we might give him our fullest attention, that we might not drift away, but remain in him. In Jesus' name, amen.